Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, supported by AstraZeneca, we had the pleasure of speaking with Balazs Halmos, MD-MS, about adverse effect management with antibody-drug conjugates in non-small cell lung cancer. Dr. Halmos is a professor in the Departments of Oncology and Medicine at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, as well as an Associate Director of Clinical Science at Montefiore Einstein Comprehensive Cancer Center in Bronx, New York. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Halmos discussed common adverse effects that are associated with the ADCs that are used in non-small cell lung cancer, the safety of datopotamab deruxtecan as seen in the phase 3 TROPION-Lung01 trial in patients with advanced or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer, and ways to manage and mitigate these toxicities. Speaking about ADCs in non-small cell lung cancer, can you just briefly describe where trastuzumab deruxtecan is currently being used in the non-small cell lung cancer treatment paradigm?
Certainly. We're seeing kind of a new revolution in the management of lung cancer now after kind of an era of targeted therapies and immunotherapies. Now we need to evaluate a large spectrum of antibody-drug conjugates. And of course, trastuzumab deruxtecan is sort of the first member of this family kind of entering our treatment landscape and entering it, quite significantly, showing great activity, about 60% response rate or so for patients with ERBB2 mutated non-small cell lung cancer. And I would emphasize ERBB2 mutated, not to be mistaken for ERBB2 amplified or ERBB2 overexpressed lung cancer. So the activity that's highlighted is in that very specific patient population. And this is in the second-line setting or beyond. Of course, there's hope that maybe it will move into the front-line setting. There's also hope that maybe the same ADC will be helpful for a larger range of patients. We've just seen the tumor-agnostic approval of T-DXd for ERBB2 overexpressed cancers of all kinds. We still need to kind of understand that better as to how that will work for patients with ERBB2 overexpressed lung cancer. But for ERBB2 mutated lung cancer, which is about 1% of the patient population that we see, the activity is great, and the treatment is generally reasonably well tolerated with some ADC-specific toxicities, of course, limited, bone marrow toxicity, some hair loss anticipated, and particularly concerning is the risk of pneumonitis, which with the lower dose, that's for lung cancer management, seems to be lesser in terms of percentage. But very important for each clinician to remember as they're managing our patients.
What are some other ADCs that you are excited to see potentially enter the non-small cell lung cancer treatment paradigm in the future?
Well, I'm very excited about the range of ADCs, and very specifically, just the next couple of months, in fact, just the next couple of weeks or days, we might see FDA approvals of some of these agents. The next class of agents are, of course, the TROP2 ADCs. That we're looking forward to us to learning, their role in the management of advanced non-small cell lung cancer with datopotamab deruxtecan showing substantial activity in the non-squamous patient population based on the TROPION-Lung01 study, to the point that we see more than doubling of the response rate over docetaxel, a significant improvement in progression-free survival, trends towards an overall survival benefit for this very specific patient population. Also, increased activity, very special activity in patients with actionable or genomic alterations, very pronounced for EGFR mutated tumors. And lastly, an adverse event profile that seems to be favorable as compared to docetaxel. So benefits on the efficacy side, benefits on the adverse event side, but definitely a unique adverse event profile again, with some added toxicities of concern, very specifically mucositis, being the most significant one. About half of the patients will experience mucositis. Fortunately, not many of them are very severe, but even moderate mucositis is a quality of life issue. So managing that very carefully, mitigating that will be important for a larger community. There's also some ocular toxicity, mainly dry eyes. That's also a concern outside of the more generic ADC toxicities I've covered already. So this is kind of the immediate range of great excitement. But, you know, we'll go beyond that, you know, very soon with the anti-matter ADCs, as well as many other molecules in development.
Talking about some of these adverse effects that you've mentioned with these ADCs, how do these adverse effects compare with those associated with traditional chemotherapy?
Well, it's an excellent question, and it's ADC dependent. You know, I think each ADC is a bit of a different molecule dependent on, of course, the antibody that we're targeting, the very specific linker, you know, whether it's cleavable or not cleavable, and more particularly the payload. Some of the payloads are, for example, microtubule poisons, but those are expected to have, you know, neuropathy, you know, as their side effect, that, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to look at every single molecule when it comes to their specific toxicity profile. Thinking about how they compare with chemotherapy toxicities, but some ADCs look a lot more like chemotherapy, traditional chemotherapy, when it comes to their side effect profile. And one very particular example is sacituzumab govitecan, that does tend to have a lot of GI toxicity, a lot of, you know, hematological toxicity, kind of, you know, very similar to what we'd expect, you know, from a very particular payload. At the same time, you know, the other ADCs, you know, with different payloads, such as the deruxtecan payload ADCs, they tend to have very specific ADC side effect profiles with pneumonitis, mucositis, ocular toxicity as very specific risks. And as I mentioned, the anti-MET ADCs tend to also lead to neuropathy. These have the MMAE payload, the current one that's being developed, and that's a microtubule poison, again, leading to the very specific toxicity. So again, typically a favorable comparison with traditional chemotherapy. That being said, a different, you know, toxicity profile and very much ADC dependent.
Can you expand a little bit on some of the management strategies for some of these ADC-related adverse effects?
Very important for all of us to learn how to manage patients, you know, optimally on these ADCs, as they will be part of our treatment armamentarium for likely a long time. You know, some very specific issues. You know, first of all, you will want to remember that, you know, these ADCs do have some chemotherapy toxicity, such as nausea and vomiting. So, you know, focusing on making sure that patients get appropriate antiemetic management is critical. Of course, reminding your patients that they might, you know, suffer hair loss is also important, you know, for proper communication. But then coming down to some very specific toxicities, mucositis, which is a very specific concern with datopotamab deruxtecan, appears to certainly respond to dose holds and dose reductions. But, you know, we certainly hope that supportive care management can make an impact as well, such as steroid mouthwashes, maybe ice chips, maybe some other supportive care measures. And these will be examined in future studies in more detail, but also guidelines are being, you know, developed to help the clinician in the interim. I also want to mention pneumonitis, which is a very specific concern for a fairly large range of these ADCs. There, you want to be very careful in terms of, first of all, understanding your patient's baseline, risk in a way, you know, for lung-related events. Monitor patients very carefully. Patients need to be educated to report any shortness of breath, cough, and a symptom that could be relevant for pneumonitis early on. And then early evaluation and intervention are critical for the best outcome. So, you know, following those guidelines that have been carefully established for now, pneumonitis management for trastuzumab deruxtecan, we can kind of copy and paste in a way and then utilize the same for other ADCs as well.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air, supported by AstraZeneca. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.